Welcome to the first week of
Welcome
new
to Life
Church. Reboot series.
We are an Acts 2:42 church, a family on a mission to bring the life of Jesus to our end. We hope you're ready to hear from God through His Word and
His Spirit. We're going to start by reading some verses from Ephesians and Colossians. So Ephesians 4, where we're going to start. Ephesians 4 verses 22 to 24 say this. It says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. This concept of putting off our old self, the flaws that are in there, and putting on a new self, created to be like God in true righteousness. Colossians 3 verses 9 to 10, and a similar kind of concept. So don't lie to each other, since you've taken off that old self with its practices and you've put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. And recently I watched The Incredibles, a movie. So in lockdown, I'm sure many of you, certainly those with children or who just are immature, have got Disney Plus and been working your way through. We are still working through the Marvel series. We're not there yet. It's taken us a while. But I've been watching The Incredibles. What a great movie. Probably the second best Pixar movie. Toy Story 2, in case you were wondering. And the thing that really struck me about The Incredibles is that the point of The Incredibles is that there were these superheroes that get sidelined. They've caused too much damage and it's causing too much money to bail them out. And so the government say, we don't want you anymore. We want you to live normal lives and not be superheroes. And we jump in the story with this guy called Mr. Incredible, who's working in an ordinary job, doing an ordinary thing. And he's kind of lost who he is. He knows that he's more, but he's being the same. And they say to their superheroes, we want you to be the same as everybody else, to fit in, or there's going to be trouble. And there's this great scene where as Mr. Incredible's coming home and he's depressed and he's just down about not living out his real true identity. And this kid stares at him and he's saying, what are you looking for? What are you waiting for? And the kid goes, I don't know, something incredible. You know what? As a church, we're going to see that what we want to do is we want to be a church that people look to as different. We want to know what it is to not be the same as the world out there. But to do that, we need to know what it is to put on this new self, to be clothed in the things that Christ has for us and not be the same as the world would have us to be. Because the world might say, be the same as everybody else, fit in, or there's going to be trouble. That's never been the call of the church. As Paul was writing this, that wasn't the call to the apostles and the churches then. It was to be, hey, you're different. You're not the same as society. You're not called to overthrow society, but you live for a different kingdom. You have a different way. And that really kind of stirred me, because I don't know about any of you, but I feel a little bit in lockdown that maybe I've kind of lost bits of myself. Maybe I've become a little bit lost in some aspects that really matter to me and who I really am. And there's no deep crisis, and I can blame it on lockdown. I can blame it on being stuck indoors. I can blame it on being away from people. But I know that ultimately what's happened is I've just kind of drifted a little bit and let the things that God has really instilled in me go cold. And I've just become a bit more distant from God. And as that happens, what I see is I see more of this new self just further and further away, more of the old self coming back, the bits that I don't want in me. And I think this concept of putting on this new self, I think maybe some of us, and I would be in this boat, have maybe seen it as an outfit that we've kind of put aside. We don't need it because we're stuck at home. We don't need that right now. And we've put it on the shelf. We've put it in a glass cabinet like Mr. Incredible in the movies, that actually we're called to just stay at home and be quiet. And actually, that's not who we are right now. And as that, we lose little bits of the key identity that God has for us. And for me, I really noticed it in the whole A-level kind of scandal and situation, with the whole results being down. And that was kind of a real wake-up call for me, because ultimately what I realised was I got so frustrated with the whole situation. I got so angry And what I realized was I became really judgmental, I became really cynical, I became really angry. And quite simply, I just really wanted a man to lose his job. That's what I wanted, because what I wanted was vengeance and justice and cynicism and all the ugly parts that I don't want as part of me. I saw them coming out and I realized that what I'd done was I was letting the old self kind of creep back. And the first point I wanted to talk about is that that old self will creep back. It will. If we let it, the old self will come in and it'll start to just show through the bits that Christ has saved us from. If we're not careful, we will regress into those. And they are like spiritual sweatpants. Many of us know what it is in this season to have lived in sweatpants. We have not left the house. And so, of course, we have lived in sweatpants. And do you know what? Some of the old attitudes in our life, they can be like that. They can say, do you know what? Just do that. It's comfortable. I can be critical towards politicians and cynical and angry because it feels good, right? It makes me feel like that's a reward to me. That feels good to me. But ultimately, it doesn't. I know it's not who I am and it's not who I want to be. So let me tell you, the old self, it will promise things that it can't deliver. It will promise you an easier or more comfortable way of living. But let's be honest, none of us are called to live out our lives in sweatpants. Sweatpants keep us at home. They keep us, in theory, safe. They keep us away from people with doors shut. That is not a church we want to be. I don't want to live my life spiritually on a couch doing nothing. You know, that is not who we're meant to be. And we see that here. Paul's saying to the churches, look, that's not the way of life you learn about in Christ. There is a new way. You were taught to put that off and become new like Christ, created to be like God in true righteousness. That's what we want to be. So I've got a couple of questions to start with. So I want you to get your phones out. It's okay. I know we're in church. I know we normally don't say get your phones out, but get your phones out. Open up a message or a notes file. Okay, whatever it is, open something up. Be ready to type. And we're going to ask you a couple of questions. Then I'm going to ask you a third question later on. So question one, some of you will hate this question, but we're going somewhere. Question one that I want you to answer is, who are you? Like, who are you? Like, there's no wrong answers here, but you've got 90 seconds. Who are you? We're going to put a holding slide on the screen while you think that through and put some thoughts down. Question two, I want you to think about, where has the old self peeked through? Maybe the things that you know you don't want as part of you, that you maybe thought you dealt with, maybe you don't like. Where has that old self peeked through? You know, where has it crept back in your life, maybe in recent times? Again, take 90 seconds to think. Be honest with myself. Where has that crept through? Perfect love paid the cost. When we think about putting on this new self, we can kind of think, well, if I'm looking at this new self that I'm supposed to be and who God's called me to be, I don't know how to do it. Maybe I fake it. And one day I was in work and I had a suit on and I was out of money. I had blown all my money and I was in serious debt. And I had to go to meetings in a full suit, but the only suit I had a hole in the private areas, shall we say. And so what I had to do, I had to just wear black underwear and hope that no one would notice that my suit had two pretty major holes in pretty sensitive areas. And just faking it, hoping that I wouldn't get noticed. That is not the new self. We are not saying, put on this good, like put on this righteousness. And then it goes on to say, put off falsehood, speak truthfully in the Ephesians verses. In the Colossians verses, he goes on to say, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness. We're not saying just try and fake it and look like you think you're supposed to look. You know, that is not what we're talking about here. It's this great bit in the Colossians version of these verses, and it says, put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge of the image of its creator. It's being renewed. God is renewing who we are all the time. You know what, the new self, it isn't an outfit to put on for church. It isn't for me an outfit to put on when I need to do youth work. It is an outfit I put on to survive and to look the right way or to do these certain tasks. You know, the new self is who you are. The new self is who you were always meant to be. When you are a new creation in Christ and you've put off the way that you used to be, what you now are is the person that God always intended you to be. He clothes you with his righteousness and he makes you into the purest and closest kind of version of yourself that is ever meant to be. And he's renewing that over and over that we might become more and more like him as we let the Holy Spirit renew us and do that work in us. So the next point I want to say is about a new wardrobe. This new wardrobe that we can be clothed to put on. Colossians 3 verse 12 to 14 says this, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other, forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. You think, okay, well, that's what I need to do. That's my responsibility. It says, clothe yourselves. And we do have that responsibility. And so the danger with that is we can think, well, that's all on me, right? It's all about my effort. I need to work hard for compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And in Ephesians 5, it says, be imitators of Christ. And you think, okay, well, that's our job. But it sounds so close to faking it, right? Sounds so close. And I've got a real example that I've shared in Latchford before about a football clip that hopefully if the tech allows us, I will show you. And it's a football clip of a free kick done by a guy called Roberto Carlos. And this is what it looks like. So what happened was this Brazilian footballer called Roberto Carlos, he steps up and he hits this free kick and it curves so far out and then bends back in. It's like a computer game. None of us had ever seen anything like that before. And so what did we all do as teenagers the next day? We all went out to our fields, we put the ball down, and we'd read in the newspaper and we'd heard the interviews about how this should be done. So we're like, right, let's put the ball in the valve. You need to take a big run up. You need to run full pelt. You need to kick it as hard as possible. You need to kick it across the ball. And so we had a step-by-step guide of what to do. We knew exactly in theory how it should be done. And we did it again and again and again. And none of us could come close. None of us. Because we just didn't have it in us to do. We didn't have it. We couldn't just recreate what this guy had done. Let me show you, even though in Ephesians 5 it says, be imitators of God. There's a second part to that verse. In Ephesians 5, 1, it says, be imitators of God as dearly loved children. You know, we don't do it as strangers. We don't do it as grafters. We do it as children. You know, like what do children do? They do what they see their parents do. They're taught by them. They're close to them. They watch them. They follow them. Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing. You know, if we're going to be imitators of God, we do it as children. Tim Keller says Christianity is the only place where you have an identity that's received and not an identity that's achieved. He says an identity that's achieved is exhausting. You have to keep going. You have to keep proving yourself. You have to keep up with it. He's saying, hey, this is not the story of the gospel. The story of the gospel tells us that we were dead. These verses in Ephesians and Colossians, in the passages before the bits we've read, say, both of them say, you were dead. You were dead in your sins. You had messed up. But because of Christ, because of grace, that made us alive and that gave us new life. Not because of anything we had done, but because of what Jesus had done. And we need to not forget that. The further we go down the line is that how do we imitate God? We do it by humbling ourselves and saying, hey, I'm a child of yours. I want to be close to you. And letting him renew us over and over again. Like it says in that Colossians, the new self, which is being renewed. Being renewed constantly, over and over, by having that relationship with our Father. So my third question, phones back out. My third question, this is the last question I'm going to ask you to put in your phones. What has God changed in you? What has he changed in you? I'm going to give you a little bit longer. I'm going to give you 2 minutes. Be honest, what has he changed in your life? Let me tell you something that God's changed in my life, and it can be summed up in this verse. In Proverbs 10:11 says this. It says, the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. It's a strange verse, right? But the things that I see that God has made new in me is that I see he is, when I am close to him and operating in this new self, I see openness come out of me. I see vulnerability come out of me. I want my words to have hope. You know what? When I slip back into that old self, what happens? Those words, they might not be violent, but they are critical. They are negative. They are cynical and they tear down. You know, I want to be living from that place that God has brought the new things into me. And I want to be living from that new wardrobe that he promises us and that he offers us. And so, to kind of almost bring it into land, we get offered a clothes swap today. And that we're going to see it's the best deal that you can get given. Like your clothes, some of you have fancy clothes. Now, I want to swap my clothes. I might get worse clothes. Trust me, what God offers you is not worse than your own clothes. Even if you have spent the fanciest gear and you might have worked hard to be the wisest, the cleverest, the nicest person in the world. I tell you, it's not enough. Anything that you've clothed yourself with that's outside of Jesus, it's not enough. And he offers us a trade and he offers us a swap. And let me tell you that if you're feeling lost today, like I said, I felt a little bit like I'd lost a bit of who I am. When I was a kid, I got lost once in Grimsby Town Centre. And I just wandered away from my parents. And my parents used to tell me this story all the time. And I don't know how old I was young. But I just went up to a policeman, found a policeman, and calm as you like, I said, "Hello, I'm lost. My name's Adam Deller." And I told him my address. And then they radioed in, they found my parents, and all was good. So I didn't know what to do, but I knew when I was lost, find somebody, tell them who I was and where I was from. We need to remember who we are and where we're from. You know, that question of who are you is a difficult question for us. And you can answer that negatively, and I would urge you not to. Who has God made you into being? Who are you? And where are you from? Colossians 3, we've mentioned a few times, but at the start of the chapter, it says this. "Since you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, because you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God." You know who you are, know where you're from. When we have laid down our lives and become Christians, that's where we're from. You know, we belong with God and our life is now hidden with Christ in God. That's who we are. That's where we're from. And as children of God, let's stay close and let's watch them, because we get to partake in the greatest swap ever. And I've got some verses which I read a few times and I love them, from Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. And this is Jesus. And he's there and he's teaching people and he says to them, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke on you and learn from me, because I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And wherever you're at today, Jesus, he offers you this trade. He says, "Hey, you know that old self you've been wearing, that one that you know doesn't fit? It's not who you are." He says, "Honestly, put that down. I have a new self for you, and it will be renewed over and over again." And yes, there's a responsibility. We have to take it, and we have to be renewed, and we have to be close to him. And there is a yoke. You know, there is something that we carry. We take off our burdens, and he gives us something new. I just want to read you something that I wrote, combination of this week and a couple of years ago. And I was thinking about why I was so angry about this whole A-levels thing. And I don't know if I was angry about the A-levels thing because I work in a university and it was going to affect me. Or maybe it's because I felt that it was damaging to the ones in poorer schools where I came from. And I could imagine if this had happened, I would have been I would have been disadvantaged. And I think some of that is right. But I also think that some of it was because there's this algorithm which had told students what they were worth. And you know what, that is what we see in our world, that there is a world that may not have a formula or an algorithm, but it will tell our young people what they're worth. It will tell them what their values should be. It will tell them who they are. And I tell you, the world can't do that. The world has no place to do that. There is a savior who will tell them they're worth more. There is a savior who has something new for them that will not let them be named by this world. And I want to just kind of read you something that I wrote 2 years ago, because I think God stirred me for this whole A-level stuff. And because of my heart and the state of where I was at, my reaction was anger and frustration. But God was saying, "Hey, there's young people who this society will label, and you need to remember who I've called you to be." And I wrote this 2 years ago in a summer, and it was just a time when we were at Soul Survive and we had this incredible time. And it was just an average night. We were sat at the back, and we don't normally sit at the back. We normally sit at the front. We were sat at the back, and then I just said the worship was okay. People were praying and it was fine. And he said, and then it all happens. The Holy Spirit started touching people in a way that I didn't know. One of them started laughing. One of them felt great joy. One of them felt excitement. Three guys burst forward when The guy at the front asks if anyone's feeling God move and wants prayer. Others ask for healing. Three of them stand up and ask for prayer, and immediately the rest of our young people, they surround them and pray with any of us asking them to, without any of us asking them to or telling them to. There's loads of faith in that place. Levi is able to breathe through his nose for the first time in years. Libby starts running without pain. And I'm involved in none of it. I watch as this bunch of incredible young people stand and they take Jesus at his word. They call for healing and God does what he says he will. Others go forward asking to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And as the night goes on, testimonies flood in from the group as God breaks out across our young people. Scars disappear, anxiety is broken, and people share words that God has given them. Our eyes are filled with tears as we see our young people respond to God, stepping out boldly, trusting that he is who he says he is. And then later that night, we stand around a bonfire. I watch as the guys hang out with people they genuinely love. I get choked as I see the relationships they formed and all that God has in store for them. I start to believe that maybe these are the best days, that maybe God's about to do an incredible thing through this bunch of young people from an ordinary youth group in an ordinary town. I see them and it makes me come alive. It makes me dream for them. It makes me realise that this is how it was meant to be. They are an amazing set of young people, but they are more than that. You know who they are? They are the ones that Jesus loves. I couldn't read this 2 years ago either. Yeah, and on these ordinary rocks, he will build his church. And in the world, it's quite easy to forget those things in the face of deadlines and exams and marking and lockdown and busyness and preparing for life group and preparing for church. I think I miss that. I miss what matters. I miss that God isn't just calling me to do these things because it's a job or a role. God is saying, this is who you are. And he will use situations in our world that stir us and move us to remind us of who we're meant to be. So as I respond to God, as I come back to him and say, God, I'm a little lost. He offers me not just a new role or a new garment. He offers me, you know, my real self. He doesn't offer me just a role or a place. He offers me who I'm meant to be. And it's the most expensive kind of garment that I own. But it wasn't paid for by me. It was paid for by Jesus. And sometimes I will go back and want to wear sweatpants again. And I'll buy into the lie that there's an easier life and a nicer life. But it's not just an outfit. It's not just something we put on for a period. It's Adam Deller. And that's what I want to do. That's what I want to be. So we want to be people who know what it is to take Jesus on his offer, to trade in our nonsense for his burden. I never knew that I needed a bunch of young people, you know, and sometimes it feels like a yoke when I'm not in the right place. It feels like a thing to do. I tell you, it's who I am. I want to be somebody who says that the world can't define them by an algorithm, can't tell them they're a formula. But there's a God who tells them that they matter. And that's who they are. So I'm going to pray, and then the leaders in Latchford are just going to lead you in a bit of a time of response now. So God, I just thank you that only in you are we reminded about who we are. That I thank you that our new self is not just a garment or a temporary thing, but it's who we are. And Lord, I thank you that our identity comes from knowing that we're children of you. So God, I pray that you would help all of us to leave the sweatpants in the drawer, to offer them back to you, Lord, and take hold of who we were meant to be. Make us into that, those people that live lives that matter, that live true to what you've called us to be, that just know you. We want to be new. We want to be close to you and with you, whatever we do in this world. Amen.
We've come to the end of this week's message. We hope you've been impacted and inspired. Keep up to date with everything that's happening by checking out our website, livechurchwarrington.com.